Dig a Bit, a podcast for women who want to dig into the meat of God's Word for a bit. We are glad you have taken a few minutes out of your day to listen. Our host is Cindy Colley from thecolleyhouse.org. Now grab your Bible and let's dig in.
Good morning. I hope that you are having a great day. We are going to finish up these little dig a bits for the month of April. We've already had the main podcast. You're already able to listen to that or to watch it online. And we're so thankful for those who joined us for that and who are still listening. Thanks to Janet Hudson for doing a great job as the sidekick that night. And right now, we're going to take just a few minutes in Daniel chapter 2. And I love that passage. You know, we teach our kids often about Daniel in the lion's den. That's usually the first thing we teach our kids about Daniel is the story of the lion's den. But to me, this one about this dream is probably even more incredible than the lion's den. He was forced into that lion's den. He was not, he was more reacting in that situation to the king's decree and to being caught in front of his window praying. But here in this one, he is boldly going in to get himself involved in a situation where he certainly was at risk of death without the help of his great God. So what I wanted us to just notice quickly this morning is that this king had a dream. And he didn't know what the dream was. Nebuchadnezzar not only didn't know the interpretation, but he couldn't even remember what he dreamed. And being the pompous man that he was so arrogant and told his wise men and soothsayers that he was going to have them destroyed. He was going to kill them. And that was going to include, of course, the servants, apparently Daniel, and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, that we also know as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in their Babylonian names, they were about to lose their lives because of this pompous, arrogant king who had had this dream and couldn't remember it and was expecting what was completely unfair, and that is that men not only interpret his dream, but actually tell him what it was that he dreamed. And so everybody here is just cowering before the anger of an arrogant king. And Daniel is the one who finally speaks out with a slow answer that turns away wrath. And he talks to the king's man, Arioch, and he said, "Why is the decree so urgent from the king?" And then Arioch told Daniel the situation. And then Daniel went in and just asked the king that he would give him a little time and that he would show the king the interpretation of the dream. I want to just say, first of all, that I think God's providence was not just in telling Daniel what the dream meant, but I think he was providential in making the king forget, in allowing the king to forget the details or even any of the events of the dream. The king could not remember the dream. And I think God was almost as providential in the forgetting as he was in the revealing. Because when Daniel then went in and was able to interpret, to tell him what the dream was and to interpret it, how much more fantastic, how much better was he than the other king's men when he went in before the king and was able to remember, as it were, what he had never known, remember what the king had forgotten. So I believe God was providential here, even in the forgetting of the dream, because it brought greater glory to God. And then the part that I really wanted to emphasize here is that Daniel went to his house then, after he talked to Arioch and said, "Let me go in before the king." He went to his house and made this whole episode, this whole problem that the king was having, known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. We know them as the ones who are going to be in the fire, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he asked them that they would, verse 18 of Daniel chapter 2, desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. I love that. Daniel who really was probably in rank superior to those three Hebrews that were going to be thrown in the fire. He was probably in rank superior to them, and yet they were his companions. And he went into them and he asked them to desire mercies of the God of heaven. I'm just going to tell you, in the last couple of years, I have asked a lot of women, my sisters in Christ, to desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret. I have done exactly what this verse has Daniel doing to his companions, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I'm just here to say there is a great blanket of comfort that comes around me when I know that faithful children of God are in prayer for me and whatever situation I might be going through. Daniel did not want to go before the king without first going before the King of Kings. I want us to remember this morning as we're thinking about this, and of course Daniel's going to go in and tell the king what his dream was, and he's going to tell him the interpretation of the dream, and the king is going to promote Daniel. Daniel knows none of this at this time, but he does know that the king that he speaks to is king over the powerful Nebuchadnezzar, and that God has more power in his little pinky finger, if you will, than any king on earth will ever have in his whole domain and army and artillery. This is the King of Kings to whom we bring our petitions. And there is great comfort in knowing that, yeah, I'm afraid of some people. Yeah, I might be afraid of some court of law, or I might be afraid of some group of my peers, or I might be afraid of some board to whom I'm accountable, or I might be afraid of my employer. I might be afraid of lots of things. But once I realize that my petitions are being taken by faithful people to the one who is infinitely more powerful than any entity of which I'm afraid on this earth, then I have a great sense of security, a great sense that even if I don't get exactly the prayer, the answer that I've been begging for, that I got the best answer, because I'm serving a God who is way more majestic, way more powerful, way more in control. In fact, he's completely in control, and has this ability to give me what is ultimately best for my situation. I love that Daniel knew that, and he went into his peers before he went to the king. And he knew that even though Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were not powerful in that kingdom, that they had the ear of the most powerful being in the universe. And sometimes before we go and face our dragons in this life, we need to be still and know that he is God. Some days are just so crazy, you can't accomplish much. You ought to call a lonely sister just to keep in touch. There's someone with dementia who's living life alone, and there's a college student being faithful on her own. You should encourage that widow who sits just down the pew and help the mom who brings five kids. She does look up to you. There's Charlie, who's a visitor, and Sam, who's homeless now. You plan to stop at the nursing home, but oh, you don't know how. You juggle items on your list. So much is left undone. You try to be six places, but you barely cover one. And every woman hearing this while rushing, running late to fill needs and plates and babies' mouths, each one of you can relate. But if you've made it to the word and bowed your soul in prayer, You've done the most important thing. The rest will still be there. So when the clock is chasing and the needs outrun resources, remember that he's ever present. And the best recourse is to recognize the refuge from the rush that is your foe in every anxious time of stress, to just be still and know. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed and the mountains are carried into the middle of the sea, though the waters thereof are roaring and troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river. This is the church today. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. The city of God. The holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the middle of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her, and that right on time. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come and behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he has made in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in sunder. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. That's Nebuchadnezzar. I will be exalted in all the earth. Psalm 46. Hope you have a great day.